Trying to grab all the groceries in one trip? Oof, not how you would have done that. You know sometimes less is more. Like when you drive less and save with the USAA annual mileage discount. USAA, get a quote today.
Hello, hello, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Bravo Wild Black. I am Aaron.
And this is Kaya. And we have a very special guest today. The Married to Medicine expert, super fan, knows everything about it. Also with Potomac too. But, you know, today we're focusing on Married to Medicine. We have Steve from Faces by Bravo. You follow him, you love him, and you stan him. How are you, baby?
How are you? I'm so happy to finally record with you guys.
We are so happy to have you, honestly. Like, me and Kay have been talking about this for a few months now, and we're like, we have to get him on to talk about Married to Medicine immediately.
Yes. Immediately. And like, it was supposed to be, I think, like mid-season or the beginning of the season, and our schedule just kind of like got messed up, and it was like a mutual thing. So then I'm like, you know what, it's even better because we can have them on after the reunion, which I originally thought was two parts, but no, they gave these queens three parts. And on top of that, they had like a bye week, so it was literally just a month of just the reunion. But we want to talk about like the season as a whole. And then the reunion, obviously, and just get into some things. But before we do that, we want to learn a little bit about you, obviously. How did you even start your account, Faces by Bravo? And did you ever expect it to blow up the way that it has? I mean, it's like the holy Bible of Bravo fan accounts, and your content is just so unique. You're not getting it from like anywhere else. You're not like stealing tweets. You are casually spilling tea while not being nasty and messy. I just love your account. Love you.
You are the moment.
Tell us. You are the moment.
Guys, this was like such an introduction. Thank you. You guys are amazing. I literally so I'm a nurse, as you guys know. I'm a pediatric hematology, oncology, and bone marrow transplant nurse. And we work 3 days a week in the hospital. And when I was living in DC, especially out in DC, you know, my hours were all over the place. So I'd have days off when everyone else is at work and I'm like bored. So I would work a lot or like pick up overtime, but I also was like, Steve, you need to get another hobby other than bottomless brunch. And
you know, I feel like, attacked.
Yeah, right. I mean, like mimosas are great, but you know, it's not sustainable.
Us after going to drag.
Yeah, like, I was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking about the whole time. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Amen. So I was like, and I don't like working out. So that's another thing I'll write off. So what was my passion? Bravo and Real Housewives. I could talk Bravo all day, every day. And so I started it, really was putting it all out there into the abyss, had no really trajectory or plan for it, just was kind of doing it for fun. And it like just took off right away. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go with the flow. And that's just kind of how I've been doing it since then, is just, you know, taking it one opportunity at a time and just making sure I stay true to, you know, what I believe and what I hope to, you know, I want to deliver a lot of laughs, a lot of discussion, meaningful discussion, and then also be responsible with my platform and, you know, educate people on things that are going on in the world.
Yes, we love that. Like, do you remember like your first meme or post that like really blew up?
Well, so my first, it wasn't even really a meme. So actually, when I first started, what really inspired it and why I guess Faces by Bravo makes more sense back then was, I think it was season 13 of Orange County, the promo photos and the trailer were out, and everyone was talking about, like, what the hell? Vicky's face looks like completely different. And it was, I mean, that's happened a lot over the years, but like Bravo specifically, they really like face-tuned and like made it really bizarre. Even she like released one that was different. And so I just was like, let me put every single cast photo of Vicky like in a row. I want to see like the progression. And then underneath, you know, like would give like fun facts of like Vicky's time on the show and all of that. And so I started doing that with just other cast members of like various, you know, Shaw's, Married to Medicine, all of the Housewives franchises, and was doing that, and it was fine, but I didn't feel like it was fulfilling. And there was times where I felt like it got a little messy in a way that I didn't really like, it just didn't feel right. So I kind of switched and went into the meme sort of space. And I think the first meme that did really well was, it was on a scale of Teresa's to Karen Huger's forehead. How hungover are you this morning?
Oh my gosh. So,
Massey. You
know, was OC the show that got you into Bravo, or what show was it that got you into Bravo?
So I was in 2006 when I was in high school. It was my senior year. That's when OC was coming out. I remember seeing the previews. I was super excited about it because I was, you know, I'm small town, little farm town guy that was like fascinated by, you know, the lifestyles of the rich, right? So I watched the first episode, I think, back then, and I just wasn't drawn in. And then fast forward to my senior year of college, my roommate was watching Jersey, and he brought me or told me to come into the living room to watch the table flip. I watched it, and the rest was history. I like dove into an iconic thing.
That is so fair.
And what's funny is, like, you know, I have a hard time, like, enjoying Teresa. But the fact that she's the one that got me into Bravo is kind of hysterical.
Exactly. So, okay. Who would you say, like, because we're open about it. Who would you say is your problematic fave on Bravo?
Ramona Singer.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
And I respect it. I respect you for standing on it.
It's hard.
I understand it. She's not mine. And I actually, like, I think we said it on the podcast that we don't want her fired because we want people to see this is how people think. So the whole Ramona getting fired thing is like, it's not useful. It's not anything. Like, we're just tucking that away instead of having these conversations.
Right.
But as far as like the fave, I don't get it. I don't get like what draws people really like to her. Like she can barely form a sentence, and then she shits on the floor, and she goes like she goes back to the same dudes, and then she calls people, you know, sluts and whores, and she doesn't want to do this or that. She doesn't want to deface her body with tattoos, but then she's seen making out with like all these men.
She's a walking contradiction.
Yeah. So is that it?
So I will disclaimer on this. Last season and really even this season aren't like star quality Ramonas for me. Like she hasn't been delivering and she's not showing up as the person that I am obsessed with. If you look back at, I guess, what was last season? We're on season 13. So like seasons 11 and down, I am obsessed with like how so unaware she is and so tone deaf in certain ways. Like the thing that sticks out to me is when she saw Aviva's leg for the first time in the shoe store. And just watching that scene gives me so much joy. Because she is a monster. She's like, do you have fake toes? Do you hate your toes? Like, Do you bring Lake to the store? You go on the beach? Do you wear a swimsuit? Like, she's literally talking to this woman like she's a monster or like an alien. And then, like, what's the others? Like, I just think she's so fascinating and unapologetically her. And there's just so much. Oh, like in the Berkshires, when she completely made up that like breakdown in the woods to, and then got on a plane to go to Molly Sims' party. I mean, that's just iconic. Season like one or two, she got in an argument, not an argument, but like sort of like a pissing contest with the mayor about who was more blind. Like, he is literally legally blind. And she's like, well, my vision is blah, 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 blah. And so I can't really see. It's just like, that is hysterical to me. She's just so chaotic. And her energy, I find to be compelling television.
These moments were very, like, I was interested. So yes. I can understand that. You know, we do not stand Ramona here, but we can definitely understand.
Yes.
Yeah, we can understand. We just don't stand.
Right. Do you guys consider Phaedra a problematic fave?
I do.
That's
I absolutely
Aaron's
do.
Favorite problematic fave.
It is. There. It's mine. She's definitely in there. And I want her back. And I understand. It's like she gets a lot of shit, which I get. I get why, but at the end of the day, who else is gonna deliver the shade like Phaedra?
And well, I have to first off say, you said at the end of the day, and that is my favorite Real Housewives of Atlanta phrase. They literally say it 70
every
times
10 minutes, yeah,
an episode. It's incredible, but but also with Phaedra. And I'm not defending her in a way that what she did was right. Not at all. But what I will defend her on is, allegedly, you know, she was told by a producer this rumor.
I say that.
Thank
I
you.
Yeah.
And again, she told Portia this. Portia's the one that said it on camera. And I love Portia. Don't get me wrong on that. But Phaedra was told by a producer who passed it on, maybe not even knowing that Portia would say something. Maybe she did, but either way, Phaedra didn't put that out into the universe. You know, she didn't put it out into the...
She didn't say it on camera. Yeah. Portia did. And Portia was friends with Candy, so much so that they were making out and trying to clap kitty cats and all that, allegedly. And now, you know, you're accusing her of like trying to drug you and take you to the dungeon. And my thing is, you know, I'm not as passionate as Aaron about like being a Phaedra stan. I respect the style, especially that blonde, that B.O.B. so they're calling you Bob, mm-hmm. But
she's been doing it. What I can say
is that even, let's just say that she did do all this herself, orchestrated herself, she said that and made it up. Let's just say she pulled it out of her ass. I think that it's been enough time and Candy has gotten all of the Real Housewives of Atlanta spotlight that she has literally paid, you know, her dues. Like, she has suffered enough. Candy is literally, her career is better than it's ever been before. Yeah. She made an entire tour out of it. So
I went to.
And
I went
and how was it?
Amazing. And I was watching Bolo perform with Karen Huger. Iconic.
Wow.
So it was whenever I went with Monique, Candace, and Karen, and Chris, the two Chrises, and and Yovana showed up as well.
That bitch.
But so yeah, we were. And it was at the one in DC, and for the Bolo portion, Karen and I were at the balcony watching, and her commentary was just as good as Bolo himself.
Wow.
Oh my God, Karen, I can imagine, like, she would be, I feel like she'd be impressed, but also scared.
Yes. I mean, you just literally nailed it. It was like, it was like, she was like mortified, but also like, trying to get tips for like her and Ray. So like it was actually an amazing. It was amazing commentary.
See, and it's just like Candy has made a brand out of the. We had a Sex Dungeon reunion. We had a Sex Dungeon reunion. So I don't think that what Phaedra did was okay, but I feel like, you know, she should.
I feel like she should allow Phaedra to host the next Sex Dungeon event. I feel like it would make sense. It would only be right. It's like, and then she can kind of get on stage and be like, you know what, guys? I fucked up. But I'm the host of the event, so the show's going to go on.
I have a hot take. So, please. I love me some Candy, and I have the most respect for everything she's done and everything in her life and on the show and whatever. However,
I feel like I know where this is going.
She's a little stale, and like, I actually really enjoyed her this season, but for the longest time, I feel like she's very LVP in the sense she likes to bring people around to do her dirty work instead of her doing it, you know, like the Candy Coated crew, or these random people will just show up to the Candy Coated factory and just spill all this tea. And she's like, don't say that. Don't say that. Like, come on. Listen. You knew they were going to say
it. I don't know why she's just telling me.
That's just weird. Right. You got on my show to say that. Yeah, you know.
That's like, just
she
weird.
Comes in the
my mama is in the other room.
Yes. Like, so I have always found that to be like, I don't like that. Do it yourself. I want you to do it. If you want it out there, everybody else, I mean, not everybody else, but a lot of people are the ones that have to do it and have to face the repercussions of putting stuff out there. You know, I don't think you should get a pass. So.
Now that's
100% like feel that that's a hot take. And then I also like, I haven't seen it for Candy in a few seasons until the last season because of her commentary in general. But like since her and Kim were like, I feel like Candy and Kim were like an underrated duo, especially when they were like doing the music thing. Whoa. And then, you know, but
I will never forgive either of them for not being able to come to an agreement to release The Ring Didn't Mean a Thing. Cause that is a bop.
Like, where is it? Where the fuck is it? The last time that I was interested was actually the Sex Dungeon storyline. And anything that Candy really had to say. So, you know, I don't appreciate a boring housewife, but I understand the place of a boring housewife. I understand the place of a Cynthia. I understand the place of, I couldn't do it for Teddy, but I can understand the place of Dorit. I can understand the place of, you know, Jackie on New Jersey. But like, I just don't really see how Candy is like, the penultimate of Atlanta. Like for me, it's always going to be Nene Leakes. But you know, so I'd other say, than like, what happened?
No, I was going to say, I'd say out of all the boring housewives that you've named, Candy is definitely the top one. Like I prefer Candy over all of those housewives and definitely over Teddy. Like,
Teddy isn't even in the conversation.
Well, with Candy, like we have to give her credit for there was a lot of moments where she isn't boring. Like, but you know, the bitch that I love is I will drag you in this bitch. That was one of my favorite.
She doesn't do anything. I think she gets shit started and then she doesn't do anything. And I'm not saying that, you know, she needs to fight people because a lot of people have a problem with violence, I guess.
Yes.
But it's just that she's just always kind of.
But and I'll say it.
She doesn't know.
Like, I want to see a scuffle every now and then.
I do.
Absolutely.
And that's just that. Like, I know a lot of people are like, don't make Black women look bad. And I never thought for a second that Black women look bad because they have to get some straightening. Like, I've never thought that. Not one bit.
And everybody, we have white women flipping tables. Yeah. We have white women literally pulling fucking ponytails. We have white women literally throwing their leg on the table. So
yes. And shitting on the floor again.
And wow. Shitting on the floor. Like
exactly. I actually also loved Nene and Candy's banter.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really like great because it was Nene was very much threatened by Candy in a sense.
Yes.
But and Candy would like not let her, she would not let her breathe, essentially. She would be like, no, you know, you can say I said what I said, and then she'd be like, but what you said is some bullshit. And it's amazing. Like she will not
I think that's my problem too, is that I think I finally figured it out. Candy really just doesn't care about like anything
when it comes
because
down
she's so rich and she's always thinking about like the next business, that it's like she doesn't give a fuck about the fame as much as the other ladies love and appreciate the spotlight and the fame. And I think that that's what she's not thirsty enough.
It's very admirable though. It's like
I want to be like that. Yeah. I would love to do. I'm just not in that situation, so that's why I'm judging it. Mm-hmm. But let me not take Candy off the cast, because we know that a lot of changes are going on with Atlanta. Sheree is allegedly coming back. Light Skin Keisha is going to be on there for some
like
random
this is
reason.
The right moment. Like, I mean, come on, you got Sheree back, and Sheree is talking about if she's not full time, she's not coming back. Like, she doesn't want to come back.
I want to see Tyrone. I want to see a Tyrone engagement and wedding. I want everything to do with Tyrone. I want Sheree and
I
want to
see her son. So
Kyro.
Kyro could get it.
He's fine. He's of age. He's very much of age. I think he can drink now. So
and Sheree, I'm so happy we can say it.
Yes. Sheree is on my very small list of four housewives that she's on a list that I don't care if they don't have a storyline. I still want them to be a housewife.
That's exactly how I feel.
Because Sheree, like, think about this. Sheree has brought so much every time she's been on that damn show. And for them to demote her at season 10.
I didn't understand that. Yeah.
I think she was on the wrong side of history on, you know, siding with Kim. But two, she, I guess, doesn't really have anything going on storyline-wise. But again, there's certain people that I feel like are allowed to do it because of, A, either what they bring.
She's
or
the bone collector.
Yeah, I mean, Sheree will get down to it. People praise Megan King Edmonds, but Sheree will get...
Sheree's investigative work.
Yeah.
Sheree in her flip phone, number one. Like at the time, and you're right about that. I don't think people remember how Sheree carried Housewives of Atlanta on her back, along with Nene. I'll say that. Like her and Nene were they
it's
were on
Sheree, Nene, Kim for me. It's like that's the penultimate of Atlanta, and that's why I want them to fix it with Nene.
How did you feel?
I always
Kim
say that I don't really understand, but Kim and what?
Season 10 when she came back as the friend.
Yeah, that was rough, but I don't think that it was kind of like what they made it out to be. Like I didn't think it was like racist the way that she was. I didn't think it was you know, I didn't think that she had a good storyline either. She wasn't fully in it. So I would want her fully in it, just the same way that I would want Sheree fully in it, because that's a good lineup for me. I
completely agree with you. I think Kim is great for the show if she's like Kim when she was fully invested in the early seasons, like prior to her like leaving mid-season. Those early, like I felt like she came back and she had the ego and didn't.
And she has her own show. She doesn't need it. Yeah. She's not thirsty enough.
Didn't want to play the game.
That's what I was gonna say too. I think the fact that she also had her own show. So she had like a whole nother show to film. And then it's like, you're getting on here. You don't really have much to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
But now that it's over, I'm pretty sure she can come back with a really good storyline.
I'm the only one who wants Kim back and I'll stand on it. And that's fine.
But you're not the only one. I would want Kim back.
I can't find one other person that wants Kim back.
The thing with me is I just,
so you'd be fine with it.
I have a need for the other housewives to be on. I'm like, I love Kim and I want to see her on, but Kim already had her turn. Where the hell?
Kim, okay, we're not going to talk about Potomac on this episode. We're going to talk about the state of Atlanta as we are right now, and then we'll get into Married to Medicine, and then we'll do a little bit of Patreon. So we're just we're readjusting the schedule. But okay, so the state of Atlanta, I want Nene ideally. I know that that's not going to happen anytime soon. I'm not going to say never, but never. It's never going to happen.
I have a feeling it's a never.
I want Sheree. I want Kim. I want Phaedra. I want Portia. Like, we're not getting rid of Portia. Like, I don't know what people are talking about. And I love Kenya. I know that you don't like Kenya, but I think she does what she needs to do. And I think that she needs to, because last season Kenya was not just like the whole obsession with who fucked the stripper thing, but just her storyline and just her in general was just like kind of so miserable that it made her... like, you just felt bad for her. But I want Kenya in the messy. I did. I want Kenya in the messy way. I know y'all hate Kenya.
That's Kenya's problematic fave, y'all, if y'all don't know. That's one of them.
That's one of them. But my number one problematic fave will always be Lala Kit. And I'll stand on that. And I'll literally sing that bitch song. We were saying that bitch song if you follow us. Boy. Boy, 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 boy. Stream boy if you're clear skin.
Yes.
But yeah. But I would love for, yeah, Sheree, Kim, Portia, Kenya, and, you know, Nene, if she can come back. I don't think she can come back. Cynthia can go. I'm fine with Cynthia leaving.
Yeah.
So, okay, who would you guys cast as a newbie that we kind of like already know? Because I've been thinking about it, and even though a lot of people disagree with this, I want Tamar Braxton on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I think that she would be literally perfect for that cast. So if you guys could cast someone, who would you cast to Atlanta?
Well, it's a shame that Tamar and Candy were on Celebrity Big Brother together because they were able to squash it on there. And I would have loved to see that on Atlanta.
On Atlanta.
Because that would wake Candy up a little bit. I don't know. This isn't a new person, but this is one reason why I really, really, really want a Black Girl Magic version of All Stars, but I would live for seeing like a Mariah or Quad on Atlanta.
Quad, oh my god, or
Heavenly, like, you know what I mean? Like, I need to see the Married to Medicine women get, you know, meshed in with some of the housewives. I think that would be a fascinating.
They're in the same city.
Yeah,
like we already
and
had.
They came out. They're always together.
Yeah,
totally.
They were what at Simon's, like, was that his birthday or something?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see this Portia and Simon shit, it sucks that Fallon isn't going to be like on the show because I'm just like.
But that's why I'm kind of like, I could honestly, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, what? But I can honestly go without Portia if they're not going to tell the story like how they need to tell the story.
I need to see what she's doing with Black Lives Matter. I need to see her growth develop. I need to see her without worrying about the hot dog king. I need to see her in that big ass mansion that she was running through that she was going to own later on. Like, I want to see the engagement. I want to see the marriage, and I want to see the divorce that's imminent. So that's why
I was also thinking like maybe have her on as a friend of too. That way we can kind of see all those things, but not so much like, I don't want it to be corny, if that makes sense.
So who would you cast on Atlanta?
Mine would be Vivica Fox or Lisa Wright. Like, those are always my two girls.
Does Vivica live in Atlanta?
She could live anywhere.
I don't know. But like, that would be some good ass.
Especially with her connection to Bolo.
I would love
off of her. If it got third, I want to see them interact.
Would be Trina Braxton.
Not Trina. Tamar, but Tony Trina. Because I skipped Tony because Tony would never get down and dirty like that. But Tamar absolutely would give you every. Trina and her Canadian accent in Atlanta would not Canadian? Last. Bring it to my house. Somebody invited me to my house.
I want to hear it.
When Phaedra was on a Braxton Family Values spinoff, was Tamar on that season?
No, that was
Tracy. No, they literally quit.
That was the one weird season with Tracy. That was like, it's like they were clearly pulling stuff out of their ass for that.
And they didn't even stop it. Like, they just let it fucking happen.
Yeah.
I was just watching it. I remember. And that's why they do stuff.
It ran. Yeah.
I remember seeing the previews and be like, why the hell is Phaedra here?
she had her little rerun because she was on Marriage Bootcamp too. Yes. So, you know, I think that everyone just goes to, well now it's go Zeus, to die. But it's me.
But I'm going to say too, you know what? And then I'm going to get off of it. Tracy Braxton, even though that was like a horrible season, she did not only did she bring Phaedra on, but she also gave us a Flavor Flav in New York reunion, like all in one. So that was like iconic.
That was iconic.
She should get her flowers for that.
I keep saying that I want Tiffany back on reality, but I just don't see her being on Housewives.
No, like I want any her on of Zeus. Them
at all.
They won't. I don't think they would consider her like the brand of Bravo and Housewives.
Yeah,
but I could wouldn't see it be her, incredible
like, if she dated like a doctor?
That would be incredible. But like,
did you see the one of her and Sonia when they had brunch together?
Oh my god, breakfast at Tiffany's.
Love
it. It was just
magical.
I need more New York. I need New York.
Yeah, she is the like, she is reality TV. Like, we can't do reality TV without Tiffany Pollard. And I'm just like, what is she? I want to know where she is at all times, because it's just her literal personality. It's not her putting anything on. It's not her.
You want her to turn her location on?
I want her to turn her fucking location on so I can literally look on my iPhone and see where she is and what she's doing.
Where's Tanisha Thomas based?
She is based in. She was in, I think, like Queens, and then she moved to Atlanta. But she has a deal with Zeus, and they're doing Baddies ATL. And I think that they've locked that down, because unless they're making her an executive producer, the way that Zeus is, I don't think that she would be interested. But I would like Tanisha Thomas as maybe married to medicine, but not a housewife either, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think that. She's calmed down a lot.
Yeah.
But if you watch Baddies ATL, she's not that different from.
I haven't seen her since. What reunions was she hosting? What would I have watched her host?
Was it
Basketball Wives?
I think it must have been
back in the day when I was a big Basketball Wives fan for a while.
Same.
I think
I'm so glad that shit's over. Well, it's not even over with, but I'm glad coming back. The same cast as it. Yeah, like I
don't know why I'm so fake. Hold on.
I sent you that they're literally coming back, and I sent you, I'm like, oh my god, they're bringing back X, Y, and Z, and you're like, this is still on.
I'm so fake, guys, and I got called out and exposed. So there you
go. You apologize like heavenly.
Jennifer Williams actually could be interesting on Atlanta.
She's the Housewives brand.
Yeah, she is.
But she's going to lie. Jennifer lies too.
I didn't love for me.
When do they not lie?
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. Like,
it's getting weird.
She's almost like marrying like
because she's the type of person that'll be like, talk shit about you and be like, we're good. And then like the very next scene, she's talking shit again. It's like a never ending story. And that's why Evelyn and her have fallen out so many times. And even with Evelyn, I'm like, I don't know why you keep forgiving her.
Ugh.
But that's like a whole, that's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When Evelyn was like, your mom dies and you turn into an asshole, I'm like, I would never speak to this person. I would literally. I would never speak to this person again. Like, that's all I'll say. I'll
her and Ocho Cinco back in the day.
Well, they fucking headbutt each other. Yeah.
Listen, okay.
That's Patreon talk. Because
y'all are going in.
I am like
married to medicine.
Yeah. I do always have to warn people. I can go off on crazy tangents. Just shut me up whenever you need
no,
to.
No, same. And I know how we
no, but that's Patreon like, talk, though. I'm so that's literally fine. But for the main podcast, we are here because you're the Married to Medicine expert. And before we get into the season, we want to know, like, what made you fall in love with these ladies? Because I see that you're one of the only, especially, like, white account owners with a big account that actually give them their flowers. Did you start off watching them season one? Did you go later on? Who's your favorite? Who's your least favorite? Like, just tell me, did you miss Mariah? Like, just tell me, you know, everything that has you enamored with the ladies of MTM.
I am an OG Married to Medicine viewer. I watched the very first episode live on television.
Oh my God.
I'm sure maybe the reason why I was especially excited was I'm a nurse. So I find it sad, but I guess I understand that we don't have enough medical representation in reality TV, because I feel like, you know, unless you own your own business or anything like that, like, you could get fired probably from a job with reality TV, you know, fodder and all of that stuff, you know, turning up, getting wasted. They'll be like, oh, that person's a nurse or a doctor. Why? I don't want
the judgment that comes along with it when it's like, you're a human too.
Exactly. That's the thing that drives me insane. It's like, but we're all human. Like, it's not like we're going to work like after partying till 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, like it would be, it's too like your nurse or doctor life is separate from your reality TV life. If they would ever do it, you know?
Yeah.
But anywho, so I think that's probably one reason why. And I fell in love right away. I mean, Mariah and Quad in season one could not have been more perfect. The way they would cut up on camera was truly magical. And I'll never forgive them for feuding the way they did.
I don't get it.
Because
I get the feud, but I don't get like the resolution was never really there, even when they decided they were going to be.
Because they're sisters.
Like, the connection, you can't fake that they're connection.
Sisters. There was ego. I think there was 1,000% there was ego. And I actually, that is another feud where it's like, you hear bits and pieces and you just don't know what's true, who's telling more of the truth. And I feel like there's a lot of things we don't know that also makes it confusing. So I literally will die on this hill that if they would have not had like that deep of a feud where they like are no longer friends, they could have been like a top tier Nene Kim situation, like spinoffs. I'm talking spinoffs, everything. Mariah's also someone who got in her own way with her ego, I feel like. And again, we don't know what went on behind the scenes. So I don't want to, you know, negate what has happened, you know.
Her and Nene, same boat.
Yes, both of them. But what I will say, what they have presented to us on screen is the behavior, like Mariah less than Nene. Nene, like I don't think she showed up for work for the past how many seasons? Like, I don't think she brought anything to the show really. Whereas Mariah, I still thought she brought stuff to the show, but her ego was like, a lot to probably deal with. And I do miss her so much. I miss her every day. I think her confessionals are top tier. So funny. Minus the confessional look sometimes. That season one, like multiple shade eyeshadow was
same.
You can't recreate that.
It was beautiful. I loved her family dynamic too. Dr. Aiden and then their kids. Yes. Like,
agreed. I thought their home was beautiful. I loved... Yes, honey, she's here, Miss. Referring to the queen bee, even though she's clearly not the queen bee because no one put up with her ass. And then
insane. It's like you have an executive producer credit But these women literally can kick you off of your show at any time. That's what I never really
grasped onto.
Please.
I have some tea on that. Well, and this is from watching Heavenly's YouTube back in, I don't know, like sometime last year. But she was talking about the Mariah situation and without actually naming her. But essentially what I think happened was when she brought the show, she was offered a talent contract to be on it or an EP contract. Talent contract, more money up front, and obviously you're a cast member, whereas EP, not as much, but that has like creative control and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. She went for the cast member contract, was given the vanity title of like an EP, just as like, cause she is the creator of the show.
Yeah, just, yeah. But so she has no like actual like merit on there.
Like she could that's not hire crazy. Fire.
Yeah. And, that's-
which makes sense though, because like as a cast member, I feel like that's kind of a Shawnee O'Neal thing where if you're on the cast and you don't like someone, she could technically fire if, and that's not fair. You know what I mean? Like just because someone said something bad, that would have then let allowed her to like have firing rights, you know? So I kind of get
but that. I feel like, honestly, like, yeah, no, because I feel maybe because I'm a Capricorn and it's like, you know, this is my shit. I wrote this shit and I like, I'm a Jocelyn Hernandez. And I'm just like, I'm going to do what's good for the show at the end of the day. Yeah. And obviously I'm not the sole person. Like I'm not Andrew Cohen as much as he wants to say that he has nothing to do with these things, but I'm not like the really the HR. I'm not Bravo. I have to literally go with a board of people and then like get you off the show. And if we all feel that way, then we have to kind of like get you out of the show. Like I might be able to shade you, not film with you, even threaten you, but like it's like she would, I don't think that she would ever have that kind of power to like hire and fire people. And if she did, I would hope, because this is how I would be, is just that I don't like you, but I understand that you brought us ratings.
Yeah.
So
you know who has good a really good like good mindset like that is Heavenly, which actually Heavenly is my favorite Bravo celebrity of all time.
Really?
Wow.
As of right now, that is really like
rotating, but like
I've really decided I'm like there is nobody that makes me laugh harder than Dr. Heavenly. Like truly Karen Huger's close, but they're different. They're like they're very they're both, you know, fighting for that top spot, but I'm obsessed
with Heavenly. That's a hot take. And I've never had anyone, heard anyone really like say that. And I respect it. But, yeah. You know, me and Aaron always have this argument on this very show is just that, you know, Aaron like understands that she can say something and she apologizes and moves on. And me, it's like, I would have to like step. And like, I don't want to have to step to you because she gets so disrespectful. He's like, that's just how she is. That's not fun to me. Like, once you say your mama, that's
it. She's gonna like try the fuck out of you and make you want to cry. But then at the same time, she's gonna like buy you a drink and make you laugh and be like, yeah. I was just
and
kidding.
She goes straight to hell with that. Like, I can't do that. I respect her on the show, I respect her place. And you know what she does, but as far as like in real life, and like even just sometimes watching it, it's just like you're letting this lady like try you too much. But, like, I can't
real
do it.
Life, that's different. Real life, do I think I'd be like friendly with? Hell no. But as far as what I'm watching on, like, you can't tell me that woman does not crack you the fuck up. Like, she literally is a monster. And typically wrong, but just her delivery and her reads are I don't think any other housewife could take her down in a read or shade off.
Yeah, me and Aaron were literally talking about like who do you think that you can do
it with. That's what it
it's
is.
It's just that, yeah, like we were like, okay, we could definitely take the Potomac, please. Like we can like shade throwing all day. But when it comes to married to medicine, we cannot handle the
That's like y'all between got it. Heavenly and Quad, especially this season. It's like
Quad's known. I like Quad for like Quan is a storyteller. Like, she, when she insults you, she goes from beginning to end. And it's like, I wouldn't know what the fuck to say to that.
I would pay good money for Heavenly to read me to Up and Down. Like, honestly.
I'm scared.
I don't know. Because thing is, I would want to fight. Like,
yeah, like, if it goes too far. That's what I always say. But, like, we're from Miami. Like, well, we're close to Miami. Heavenly is from Miami. We saw her go back to her roots. And it's like, that's why I know the kind of person she is. And that's why I know we would not be able to be on a show together. We would not be able to mesh like at all.
But I would respect her because not once would I have to worry about her talking shit behind my back because she's going to tell me.
She's going
to
say it, Leah, right to your face.
That is true. That is true. I have to also say, I think as seasons have gone on, my level of love for her has grown. Whereas like, her very first season, I think I hated her, but because I didn't understand her yet. And she had like very, very conservative traditional views that were a little cringy for me at first. But Alora is the best house kid of everybody.
Yeah. She's grown so much.
Little Alora is funny. She could outdo Melania any day. I love Melania too, but Alora was incredible television, like in those early seasons. So funny. She got Heavenly together.
That's the only one who's able to clear the fuck out of Heavenly, and we enjoyed it every time. So let's just get into
and her son's hot. I also have to say that.
Oh yeah,
this season
we've said it, y'all. So
the one
he's so quiet.
The one that was on at the very or the one I guess that's flipping the house. Mm-hmm. The other one is very, very quiet. The one that's flipping the house that was on, I think on episode one, they were talking about like, what does Black Lives Matter mean to you? Mm-hmm. And all that. That one, that guy, is so hot. And I also, it was interesting watching when they were sitting on that porch that one episode and they were talking about dating and stuff and what kind of girl he was going to bring home and all that stuff.
He's yeah.
Very quiet.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm a girl.
I thought I was the only one that caught that though, but I was like, child, we're going to move on.
But we'll put a pin in that. I'm not.
Yeah.
open that one up later.
We'll put a pin on that.
So let's just get into like, the season. I think that the season, I didn't really enjoy the reunion all that much. And I think it's because of the whole Contessa and Scott thing, but we'll get to that later. But this season was like really the way to do a pandemic season, in my opinion. It's just like, we had them going on trips. We had them throwing shade. We had the fights. We had the illegality of Lisa Nicole. Like, we had all of these things going on while it's a pandemic, while they're literally working through a pandemic, while there's literally like a freaking revolution going on. And we really got to see from a group of educated Black women and men literally in the thick of it, how it was just like in general. And I think that it was so different from Atlanta, even though Atlanta did a good job of it. It, because I think they were filmed a little bit later and they had less restrictions, but then also it's better than any representation that we've gotten on a show that's not, you know, full of just Black cast members. And when they added Carrie and Lisa, I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I wanted Carrie on there. I didn't know if I wanted Lisa, but when Lisa Nicole came and she started scamming, it was amazing. And
on brand.
And Toya this season, even though, you know, she is on one, she really made the season for me. Like, Toya was amazing this season. So what was like your favorite part of this season of Married to Medicine?
This might be my favorite season of Married to Medicine, to be honest, because the way that they incorporated Black Lives Matter and the pandemic into the show was seamless, and in a way that we still got our reality TV like mess, but we didn't take away during that. Like, I think sometimes it's hard to like, you know, we have this serious thing that's really going on. We don't want to diminish that cause, and we don't want to make it, we don't want to make a mockery of it during this reality TV mess. But the way that they did it was perfect. And these are people that did not need, I mean, it is not their responsibility to be educating America on Black Lives Matter and what their life experiences are and why America needs to change, but they did it. And as painful as it could have been, I mean, Damon telling us that he had a gun pulled on him. And on top of that, it makes it, my hope is, I don't know, but if there's people that are watching that show that still for some odd fucking reason can't wrap their head around Black Lives Matter and why it's important, they can now put a face to somebody from all of these people's experience when they voice like what has happened in the past and say, oh shit, like I may not see it, but this is someone who I is an important person in my life, or whether, you know, it's on reality TV, but like, you know, I connect with this, he's saying this or she's saying this, I get it now. I'm hoping that that was something that would resonate with some other people that maybe need it. And I just could not applaud these people more. I mean, I already worship this show to begin with, because on top of them being so funny, so shady and dramatic, like we are seeing them as medical providers that are, you know, on their trips, they'll do all this like charity type health screenings and work, the COVID testing when they did this season. Like we are so lucky to have this show and what they bring, because they are truly incredible, like truly, truly incredible.
Yeah. The only thing that I wasn't feeling this season is that there was no Mariah. And then also
yes,
Quad wasn't in it enough, because once she got in the mix, it took it up so many notches that it's like she became a full-time cast member. Like, don't you think that it's like Quad maybe like showed producers Quad what they're missing? And then they were like, okay, yeah.
So
we need to give her more airtime. And then even on Watch What Happens Live, when Andy was like, I was on that one, on that Watch What Happens Live, when he was like, oh, you know, what do you regret about this season? And she was like, not being full time.
Yes. Yes. Well, so full disclosure, as a big Married to Medicine fan and who loved Quad, I'm glad that they demoted her, to be honest, because for the how many seasons now, each season after, the first season, as it's gone on, she has gotten progressively more removed from the cast, the show, and just not really giving us the Quad that we all fell in love with. She gave me NeNe vibes for so long. Like, I understand that you were a big personality and that people fell in love with you, but don't change to a point where you're no longer delivering or you're no longer engaging. And the fact that she lost Sister Circle and Married to Medicine at the same time humbled that girl like no other. And you know what happened? We got this Quad back, and I could not be happier. I'm ready for her to be back to full time. And I think she needed that. I will die on that hill.
Yeah, I think that we lost her when she got Sister Circle, because even she had them on there and she was showing her ass, honey.
Like, she need to see her on the
showed her whole ass for how many seasons now.
Yes. I need to see her back.
I didn't understand the whole Greg thing. Yeah, I need her intro.
Doing the
special looks, her apartment, her small little ass apartment or whatever.
Yeah, that was pretty big to me. So.
Like, that was insane. That Toya would even say that when she had to quote beg, borrow, and steal.
Anyways.
Oh, and to your point on Toya, I agree with you. I actually think Toya and Heavenly they stepped up to the plate a lot this season. And I think, you know, Toya was clearly going through a lot. something, she was really going off on everybody and not, she was definitely like not herself. But what I will say for the show, I felt like her and Heavenly were like, we lost two major players this year and they stepped up to the plate and delivered a lot, yep, in my opinion.
Immaculately. Right. I will say that I am now a fan of Contessa, but going into the season, I was not a fan of Contessa at all. But just seeing her interaction with some of the ladies and then also her marriage issues and like actually like putting them out there, I will say I'm a fan of her. What did you think about Contessa and Scott's marriage? Like, did you see this coming at all? Or did you see the like the foundation breaking? And do you think that they'll like fix this, or are they headed for divorce?
My whole viewpoint on Contessa and Scott's marriage is always all over the place, especially this season, because I also was not a big fan of Contessa until this season. Like, I really am liking her this season. I don't know. She seems to like kind of connect a lot better with the cast. But with this season, whenever she brought up in DC that I don't know if he's cheating, it just felt like it came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Them being on such different pages. I kept toying with the fact that, are they in on this as like, this is like a storyline? Yeah. But it's definitely not. Like, I don't think it is. I think the reunion made it very clear to me that I don't think it is. But at first, whenever that happened, like, that threw like a wrench in
my, like, why would you randomly say that?
Yes, it was just so bizarre.
She was like setting it up. I believe that she knew what was happening, of course, because that's her marriage, and she wanted to set it up. So I think it is a part of the storyline, but at the same time, it's still her reality, you know?
Right. Yeah, I was just hoping they weren't making it up for reality. Right.
Yeah, because it can become reality real quick.
Right. Right.
Aaron has a theory of like when he saw the foundation crack in their marriage, and it was an interesting theory if you want to bring that up again, Aaron.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's the last season. It wasn't this season. It was the last season when Contessa was like coming back home and she brought McDonald's to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the moment that I knew, because I'm like, and then Scott was upset at it. Like, yes, he was like, I made dinner. Like, what mm-hmm. are you doing? And she's like, well, I didn't know. And I'm just like, well, why wouldn't you communicate? Why, like, you guys have not.
Why are you talking? Popping off on McDonald's? Yeah. It's like Shannon Bedore when David would eat chips.
Yeah, it was very strange to me, because I'm like, now all of a sudden they can't have a Mighty Kids meal. Like, what is the problem? What is the issue?
Not a Mighty Kids meal.
It was just a little bit strange to me. It didn't sit right with me. And I was like, okay, we'll move past it, but
you literally put a pin in it. And like, yes, as soon as it happened, you were like, remember that episode where she brought mm-hmm. her McDonald's mm-hmm. and she didn't even know that he already cooked, something was there. And I'm like, yeah, damn. Because
I'm like, when you're coming home, number one, if you have a significant other, you communicate with them like, hey, I'm cooking this, like, mm-hmm. or I'm doing this for the kids tonight, so you don't have to pick this up. But the fact that she went, you know, drove around listening to her jazz music or whatever Contessa listens to, and then she comes home and then it's like she's unaware that he made a whole ass meal.
Yeah, it's, they have, from the beginning, since them joining the show, I've struggled connecting with both of them, period. But this season, I'm invested in Contessa. Scott is, I'm just like, what's going, lights off, no one home up in this brain. You're a doctor? Like, what?
He is not even here. It looks like somebody has control.
He's with that life coach, honey.
Oh my gosh. Oh. And him, like, oh, it's not, the pictures aren't on my phone. What do you mean? Like, she DM'd you. Of course they're on your phone. And he took it so literally as if he had him saved in the album. I'm like,
he's being such a
man. And he stresses me the hell out.
Yeah.
Like, Miss Juicy Baby stress. Like, how he looks at the camera. He's like, what do you mean, Contessa? I thought we were good. Like, it's just like, it's so much. Like, calm down. We know you're cheating. We already know that.
We
so
now
you don't
know.
Have to keep lying about it. You keep changing up your story and you don't realize this is being recorded. And for me, as like, if I was Contessa, I would be very embarrassed, to be honest, because not only are you playing in my face, but you're continuing to lie about it over and over again on TV.
I will say I'm not convinced that he's cheating.
You're not.
I'm not. I'm actually not.
I am very convinced.
I know.
It just
that
doesn't
sounds
make
crazy.
Sense.
I know. Yeah. I know that probably sounds crazy, but.
But explain.
I just don't. I feel like their disconnect is huge and they're literally on completely different planets, but I don't get the vibes that he's cheating.
Oh, okay, so you think that there's definitely strife in the marriage, but it's not infidelity on his part. Let me ask you that. Do you think she's cheating?
No, I don't think so, but I think she is very unsatisfied sexually or physically. I mean, it's very obvious from some of the episodes this season. Like, she went back for like sex therapy for school. Like, she wants to be like a sex therapist and whatever. And then during the sex toy thing, like, she was like a 10 out of 10 for her freak number. I feel like she's not getting what she wants. But do I think she would cheat? I don't think she would.
I just feel like with Scott, if he isn't, he's doing a bad job at convincing us, because when the issue comes up, it's like, if you're not, why is it so hard for you to stick with one story? I feel like,
I think he's proved to us that he's a little airheaded when it comes to I think that's where my thought process is, like, watching him. I don't think he would be like smart enough to get away with it. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, Contessa strikes me as, and she keeps saying it throughout the season and throughout the reunion, we have kids. So I feel like she knows exactly what's going on, but because they have kids, she wants to save whatever it is. And it's only because they have kids. So that's why I think that he is, and she knows who she knows all the details, but she wants to stay together because of the kids.
That might be true. I guess my interpretation of, you know, we have kids was just literally, we have kids. Like, I do love you. I want to make this marriage work because of the kids, but also, like, I do actually love you, even though I don't love you right now, not love you right now, but like, love how we're at in our relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like you right now, but I love you and I want to work this out. Yeah.
I also want to say, not to drag Contessa, because I don't want to drag
her. No, but you have to get it off your chest. It's over.
It's really annoying me that she can't. It's like, we don't know what she wants because she will never voice what she wants. It's every scene, and especially this reunion at that table of the
Quad told us
the last episode. It's like, why is Quad speaking for Contessa? Why is everybody in the room speaking for Contessa? Every time Andy asks her a question about her marriage or what's going on with her, it's
and
like, why don't you ask Quad that question? Why don't you ask Simone that question? Why don't you ask? I think everybody in the room can answer that. It's like, no, we don't give a fuck about what everybody in the room has to say. We want to hear what you have to say, because you are the one that's in the marriage. At the end of the day, they are your friends. Yes. But it's only so much that they know.
Yeah. I also, and I don't know how to like say this without, I don't want to drag her either, because I feel what she's like going through right now. Mm-hmm. But she gives me I feel like she likes being a victim a little.
Yes.
Bit. You know what I mean? Like
it has to be.
Yeah. Like,
the spotlight's never on her. So I can see that too. Like it's never about like really Contessa. It's always Contessa's beef with someone, or even just Contessa's like storyline of being a doctor. But she's never had the spotlight like this, like this Contessa.
But I'm like, how does it feel? Like, because it must feel pretty fucking good, because every time you turn around, she's like, I think everybody in the room knows what I'm going through.
But
this is a reunion, and it's called Andy Has to Ask Your Ass Some Questions, So Answer Them.
It's called Andy Has to Ask Some Questions, so you have to answer them.
Yeah, no, like when she was saying, people won't always blame me. It's like she really wants the sympathy.
Yes.
And like, I have to say that third episode of the reunion, I really was just feeling some type of way about that. Like, it almost felt like, I wonder if a lot of their communication issues aren't just with Scott, and it's like, she's kind of thriving on in a weird way on this disconnect.
I feel like she does. I feel like
it's like everyone is like lifting her up, and she's like, I'm so sorry I got you involved. And I'm like, that's where I had like a pause. It's like, what do you like? Why are you apologizing like that?
It's like she is still trying so hard to protect him. As you can see, she's like, oh, well, you know, I want to stop it now because I know how Scott can get. And I'm like, well, Scott can't really get anyway because we got security, number one. And number two, we don't really care about that because this is the reunion. And it's like, it's time to get down to the nitty gritty.
This is what
like,
we're going to talk
stop
about.
Dicking around at this point.
It almost gave me that. There was a moment in the reunion that gave me, not that Scott's like physical against her, but like gave me Taylor Armstrong, Russell Armstrong vibes with when, remember when all the girls were at the tea party at Lisa Vanderpump's and But Now We Said It came from, they were all like, it's crazy because you tell us like, you know, what he's doing behind the scenes, but then you're like, Russell and I are going on a plane to Vegas, blah blah blah,
and like that vacation that Contessa had right after.
Like, like it's a double edged sword of opening up a ton with your if you're not going to make a decision, because then why your friends are going to feel a type of way, like get the fuck out,
especially because you're on camera and everyone's sharing their truth. And if you're not sharing your truth, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous because it's like, if her thing is she wants to defend him and she wants to pay respect to her marriage and stay in it, that's fine. Like, I would not judge Contessa if she was like, you know, I'm deciding that I want to work it out with my husband, because at the end of the day, they have kids, they have finances, they have, it's a lot at risk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I get that. But it's like, then don't tell Quad and everybody that you're falling for a separation and do that shit on TV, because now he's gonna come out and be like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing?
He was so confused too. Like,
and I was,
that whole thing was confusing.
It's what
it was. It's like mainly her fighting for it, and then it's not, she's saying that she's proud of separation.
It's not Scott that's confusing at this point, it's her. Mm-hmm. Because if Andy is asking you these questions and then like all of a sudden like, oh, I'm filing for a separation. And then towards the end of the reunion, it's like, oh, we're working it out, because all the cameras are in front of you and Scott's here. Now you're like, oh, we're working it out. And it's like, what type of control?
And then he was right in the back room, like, oh, I'm not doing this.
Like,
so yeah, back to your point, Steve, is just like that Taylor Armstrong kind of like when he comes out, it's like a different story. But then now,
and I don't want to allege that there's physical things going on, but there was a moment in the season that I got worried a little bit. Like, I want to say they walked away at one point, like, and it contested
before things got
fine. Yeah, we'll be fine. Or I'll be fine. And it gave that really dark energy that I was like, is she okay? Or like, is there things we don't know about?
I don't think he's being physical though.
That's I don't think so either.
I think verbally, behind closed doors, verbally, he probably has a mouth on him. Mm-hmm. And that might get her all the way together, because sometimes it doesn't even take the physical part. Somebody can just be like verbally so abusive. And if that is the case, I'm like, you need to find your way out and reevaluate things. Mm-hmm. Or because at this point, he doesn't want to get a therapist. And shit, at this point, I don't want him to have a life coach, because you might fuck her. Like, I don't know. I just got to be honest with that. So it's like, that's not working. So now I have to figure out something else.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
I can't. I've never spent this much time talking about Confessor. Yeah,
I'm so happy that this is happening though. Like, not that she's going through it, but for once we can finally talk about Contessa.
Because you know my answer is always like, I don't really care about Contessa.
I don't really care.
Next question, please.
Exactly. This is the first time that I've actually been talking about her as well. I don't know. And it's so funny because like she was, you know, right after her first season, which I felt like she didn't really mesh. She was put front and center in the intro. Like, I was like,
yeah, but what? You know what?
I didn't think you were going to come back.
Last season is what really won me over with Contessa. Like, I've always kind of liked her.
Yeah, but
when she got hit in her titty and it's like, she made a whole thing out of that. Like, I was like, yeah, she needs to come back. And then, her kids kicking her in the titty again. I'm like, Contessa's titty is on fire at this point.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the titty. Oh, my God.
You hit my titty.
You hit my titty. That was on vacation, right?
And Toya was like, yes. Yes. Toya was like, I did not hit your titty, Contessa.
Yes.
I was so serious about it.
That was a whole ass argument.
That and was like, a full, like, 5-minute bit.
The husbands were, like, almost about to get into it about it.
Oh, my God. I'm dead.
Contessa's titty carrying the season. Wow.
You know what I miss? I miss Miss Renee from her first season.
Oh, my God.
Remember how turned up she was?
Throwback.
Wow.
I could not have someone, like, working for me that acted that way.
Oh, hell no.
Like, if I paid
you. I liked her.
I loved her.
Yeah, I bet. Because she was
not as
TV.
My employee. She would definitely be someone I'd keep around. Like, for fun. Like, she's fun. But
like, you want to be on the cast, babe?
I do.
You ain't working for me no more.
I wanted her to stick around.
But what I will say about this reunion is that I've never seen, like, this is, in my opinion, aesthetically, the best Barry Tubetison reunion. Like, especially Dr. Heavenly, like, I've never seen her look so good. And, like, the background, the water, like, the whole, like, setting.
Oh.
Immaculate. And who was your favorite, like, look overall?
Heavenly was the best.
Yeah, Heavenly 8. Heavenly 8, and I honestly think that Toya was really good too. But you know, Toya has her moments, but Heavenly has never looked so good to me. Mm-hmm. Aaron, who's your favorite?
Definitely Heavenly.
Because
mm-hmm. It's like, it's the best. It's the best.
Yeah, like, I've never seen it. Like, no, I was like, who is
nothing
that?
Can top that.
And then I actually liked Contessa's dress. I didn't love the hair paired with that. I don't know what I wanted from it, but I didn't love the like prom type updo that she had.
Yeah. Maybe
it was
like
Karen Huger's
wavy.
The one.
I think it was very Contessa though. Like, that's exactly what I expect from Contessa.
And I hope to God she burned that little bob wig that she was wearing in the confessional. That was the biggest crime of the season, was that damn wig. I was not here.
What's the name?
She put that shit on and she really thought. But I know this is off track, but I also wanted to kind of drag her just a little bit because
we're about to end and go into Patreon.
The
so
way
get
he was talking his shit about Scott and that whole situation and like what was going on. And I'm like, okay, Curtis, listen, 2 seasons ago, you just recovered. You just made a comeback.
Oh,
So let's relax a little bit. Let's not pretend like you have all the wisdom and knowledge, and not understand that they are older, and it's some things that he might know, but that's not one of them. Let's stay out of that.
It's like right message, wrong messenger.
Right.
I will say I had like conflicting feelings on Curtis because I did appreciate him in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like trying to like
calm down the situation,
calm down, but also tell him you do need to take this time because this is, you know, if you don't talk about it, they're going to write the story for you. However, I agree with you on the other piece of it where like later
I don't like hearing his
advice. Yeah, exactly. Like, and also, can I just say, Cecil has never looked better. I am so
and Simone, I must say, like they are
so hot this season. Like the hair grown out, I am like dying for that. He looks so, so good. And then also we didn't even talk about her, but I have to say I loved Anila and I loved her husband.
I didn't know Anila was on the show.
Well, you know, we had to talk about the power players first.
Yeah.
But because I also want to know like the status of Lisa Nicole and what, where was she?
Oh, yes.
But Anila, at first I didn't know if I was going to like her. She was just like Toya's plaything. But the moment that she got with Heavenly, that was when I was like, okay, she's her own person. Mm-hmm. And like kind of like switched teams kind of. And now she's like Quad's friend. And her husband is just so funny, so goofy. He doesn't get in the women's business.
I like him.
I really like her husband. I like her. I want to see her back next season also.
I truly think they have longevity on that show. I think those two will be on for a long time because I think that she was probably, like you said in the beginning, she kind of did feel a little like puppet-ish until we finally got to see her like speak her mind and stuff a lot more. But Kieran was from the get-go, I felt was incredible television.
When they were building the house and her mom, the kids, even talking about like the skin color, like that whole situation about blonde hair and blue eyes. Like she really carried her own storyline while meshing with the ladies while also like adding drama.
And bringing like her culture to the show. Like I absolutely loved learning more about like Indian culture, which was a reason why I'm loving Family Karma. Like we're seeing a whole nother thing. And I just felt, and Anila, when she went off on Toya after that one and walked to her car, I was living for that. I don't know why. I just was like, yes, go off, girl. Like
I love when she's like, you people are motherfucking telling me.
Yes.
Just the way, even when they bleep it out, you can hear her voice saying, "They're motherfucking telling me."
Yes. So good. So
okay. As a medical professional,
mm-hmm.
break it down. I know that you work with the little kiddos, but you are a medical professional. You went to school, child. So to break down, what the hell did Lisa Nicole exactly like do? Like what the fuck was with the lab situation? Like what, how did she even get a hold of a lab?
So this is how I've interpreted it. This is not me saying
just your opinion.
It's my opinion. What I think happened, and she's not the only one that has taken advantage of COVID as like, you know, a moneymaker. Pastor Jamal Bryant got reamed out about trying to charge a shit ton of money
for COVID tests.
Do COVID testing. What I think she did was she opened up a COVID testing center, right? So she was testing all these people, charging them, but like she said, she didn't have the equipment yet to run the tests. So then eventually she had to outsource it, who knows how long. Like if people weren't getting their results in like 6 weeks, like what's the point? Who cares?
Yeah.
The COVID test is only helpful for in that specific moment. I mean, hell, you could get tested right now. And then as soon as you walk out the door, that test doesn't mean anything. Like, it's not like it's like, like STD testing or anything where, you know, you go and you get tested and if you don't have sex or do anything physical, you know, you're still good. Mm-hmm. But where like COVID was different, like you could go to the grocery store and catch it. You could go to CVS, you know, like all that. So the fact that she was charging them not, and then not having the equipment to run them and just holding on to them. And then maybe eventually outsourcing to a company to run them. Like that is just so irresponsible and like so scammy.
I just don't understand how she even got, like, cause her husband is the doctor.
Correct.
But it wasn't even her husband who was doing it. It was literally Lisa mm-hmm. Nicole on the motherfucking Atlanta News.
I don't even want to bring her husband into about, it because I know
he wasn't in it. Like, we can't bring it, even if I wanted to. It wasn't I'm done. Him this at all.
Does not make any sense.
Heavenly had that girl's number for a long time. It's like she does feel very scammy. And when she was talking about, like, I'm not trying to fight with you, but with your business, that is why people don't trust you. It's just how you conduct yourself in business. Although it's business and personal are different, when it's you're doing business, especially if you've done business with your friends, that can translate into personal. And she just comes off so scammy to me in a. And it's funny.
Did they talk about it at the reunion, like, at all?
No, because I hated that her and Carrie weren't there. I think they deserve to be there. When I was found out they were coming back, Carrie, I was so excited about Carrie coming back. She holds her own. She's great. And I think she's gotten so much, like, her first season, she was a little to like. Yeah, she was a little, like, stuffy first season. Where this now she's amazing. And mm-hmm. I think she needs to come back. But Lisa Nicole, yeah. I wasn't excited about her coming back, but I was like fine with it because I had a break from her from the last time. Like I was like, girl, you're a mess. Get on off my screen. I'm fine. But I was okay with her coming back this time because I had a break. But now I'm like, you just proved exactly why you don't belong on this show.
I wouldn't mind her coming back.
I mean, I'd be okay, but I need her to be more, like, I did also find it weird for the longest time they would be just, like, bopping around, but didn't really show a lot of their drama and scenes. Like, you brought her back for drama, right? But then you didn't air the drama that her and Heavenly had on the plane. And you know what I mean? Like, the big drama stuff. That's what she's there for. She's not a full-time person. So
yeah.
What was her purpose?
And then we just didn't get closure with the whole
fraud.
Yes, exactly.
At the reunion. So it was like, but I don't know. I'd be here just, I don't know, maybe just for the case of dragation, just so they can be like, hey, remember when you literally took COVID tests and you were on the news for it?
And nobody got their results, remember that?
And remember when you didn't pay Anila for her influencer work and then Anila drags her too? Just for dragation, I would be here for it. And then also, I want to see what's up with her marriage and her husband. And with Carrie, I want to see what's up with her marriage because, mm-hmm. you know, I've been a fan of Carrie. And I think that she definitely improved. And the moment for her, like, I had a moment with Anila of, like, realization that, like, okay, it was when she was like, okay, I'm sorry, Dr. Daddy. Yes. And it was just so, like, I was like, okay, you're good with me, girl. Like, come on back.
So the only way that Lisa Nicole was able to do the show was Darren said he would not be part of it. And I think that's a main reason, obviously, why she was a friend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we'll ever see Darren, which I understand because that man has a lot to hide. But including
especially with Quad there, child. Yeah. We want Quad to have another event now.
Yeah. And then Carrie, I need to see her back. I want her in the fold. And you know who else I would live to see again? I don't know. You guys are OG watchers, right? Or like you've watched all of them.
I've watched all of the seasons.
I am. Oh, shit. Why am I blanking on her name right now?
What was her story?
Buffy?
No. Well, I love Buffy too. Shit.
She can go.
Hold on.
Yeah, she's gone.
She can stay gone, honey. Buffy was I didn't like what Jackie did to her. Sorry. And I'll say it again.
Oh my gosh.
I'll say it again.
Let it go.
No, because that was the whole reason that she was mad at Simone. Like, I didn't understand that falling out. Like, because you literally told the world that this lady cannot have children, you're mad at Simone that she didn't have your back. Oh. What the fuck was that about?
I was team Simone. I thank God Simone finally said at the reunion, like, that like passionate monologue that she just did. I was like, yes, Simone, go off. But I am very anti Dr. Jackie when it comes to this feud. I felt like what she did to Buffy was disgusting. And I know that she didn't mean it, but the way she handled it, she's not being wrong like it wasn't or in a big hot deal. Seat. So she wanted she's to shut it to down it. Quick. And it's like, girl, you can't just shut this what you said down this quick, because what you did was like daggers.
Didn't you fucking violate HIPAA?
To her heart and her uterus.
It is horrible. But Dr. Jackie was like, I've said it and I'm done.
Done.
No, fuck that. We're going to talk about it. Like, yes. That was insane.
And then the person I want to see back, because I thought she was a star and she was so good on the show, was Jill Connors. Do you remember the blonde girl, season 3, was friends with Toya? She was a friend of.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. She was a friend of.
She was supposed to come back full time. But at some point during the season airing, I guess her husband had caught or alleged that she was cheating. And they got in a huge argument and she pulled a knife or something at some point. And yeah, it was a whole thing.
Like, you're back now.
And also, but, though, like, we had too many people. Like, let's calm down a little bit. Like, we have Lisa Nicole, we have Carrie, we have Quad, we have Heavenly. Like, it's way too
But you know what? People. We had a lot of people in Married to Medicine, but I feel like it didn't get in the way of the central storylines the way that it did with Atlanta. Because Atlanta was overcrowded. And then it just got lost. Like, we had Shamia, we had Tanya for like 10 episodes, 2 episodes. We had all these different Marlo, we had all these different people, but then it kind of got lost in the sauce there. But with Married to Medicine, it was like steady, like it literally went up.
They had genuine chemistry too. Like every time they get together, that's another thing.
It says a lot when this cast has not changed much since its inception. And when they did bring people back this bring like new people on the season, they brought one new person, but they brought old faces back, which that speaks to why this show is so successful and so top tier, and why I've heard that truly the person that runs Bravo, the network, like their favorite show is Married to Medicine, which I hope
thank God that is safe
that's true, because I never want them off our screens. They're just too perfect. Please.
So with that being said, we want to ask you a couple questions about, you know, just like a would you rather kind of thing.
Okay.
So Aaron, you want to ask your question first?
Yes. My question was, if you could open a medical practice with the Married to Medicine cast member, who would it be?
You know who it would be? It would be Heavenly. Because
I felt like you were going to say that since she's your favorite.
Yeah.
It's not even the favorite part. I feel like she is, her and Damon, I feel like, are bosses. They know what they're doing. I think partially with her, like, growing up how she did, and she was like, I'm never going to be in this situation anymore. She's really good with business and she's really good with her money and like all of that. I feel like she, no matter what she does, I feel like she's successful at it. And like, I mean, like, she now just opened Heavenly Beauty. That, like, who was asking for beauty products or beauty advice from Heavenly? But she did it.
Not me, but I would.
After that reunion look, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
I think that was an advertisement for it.
Amen.
But before that, not me, but I just support Black businesses in general.
Yes.
But I wouldn't go to her for advice. Right. But that reunion look was everything.
Okay.
So my question is, okay, so let's just say having surgery, the cast of Married to Medicine is having surgery. If you could switch, like, one of the Married to Medicine's personalities, like their brain, and switching their personality into a different cast member of Married to Medicine, whose brain would you move to who, and vice versa? Like, if Contessa was getting surgery and Heavenly was getting surgery, Jackie getting surgery, all of them are getting surgery, whose personalities would you switch by switching their brain?
Heavenly into Jackie. I want to watch that mess.
Oh my, I could never see Jackie acting the way that Heavenly acts.
That is genius. And it would be
That is immaculate.
That is genius.
That's wow, mad scientist shit.
I never would have thought of that.
I was like, as soon as I saw or heard that question, I was just like, that is it, because that would be mess.
I would love
like,
that.
Not
so
only
much.
Can I never see Jackie acting the way that Heavenly acts, but I could never see Heavenly acting the way that Jackie acts.
No.
They're just so
different.
Different. I can't even imagine it.
Jackie is also, to me, a very much a Lisa Vanderpump, where I think she's a sniper from the sides.
Oh
yeah, well, I wholeheartedly agree.
That's what you
100%.
That's what you
yeah.
think?
We have a Dr. Jackie stan, and I'm so glad.
That... Dr. Jackie stan.
Yeah,
I
sure
do.
Is.
I feel like Dr. Jackie does nothing wrong.
Oh well, we're gonna go ahead and correct yeah. that.
Yeah, I see. You guys corrected it
a little,
you know.
Straightening.
I mean, I will never forget in season 3 when she told that Miss Plus, like, beauty queen, that she's not healthy and overweight.
She did that?
Yeah,
you fucking remember it.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I was just going to say, don't play coquettish with me.
I don't quite remember that scene.
Don't get close to the microphone when you say it.
Conveniently.
Two truths and a lie. I don't remember that scene.
Erica Jade, 2 truths and a lie.
Amazing. Kathy, 3 truths.
Oh, that's so good, Lori.
Oh my God.
Just an iconic season. I'm loving Beverly Hills so much. But same. Thank you so much for being here on the main podcast. Yes. We are going to take this party to Patreon, which you guys can subscribe, patreon.com/BravoWildBlack. Please follow us at Bravo Wild Black. Rate our podcast 5 stars, because we always forget to say that, but ratings are so, so important. And please follow me. I am the official social media director at The Dip. That's THEDIPP. Thank you all for listening. And Steve, so do you want to tell the people where they can find you online? And you have a huge announcement to make.
Well, follow me on Faces by Bravo. Most of my content's on Instagram, but also I dabble in Twitter and TikTok a little bit. And then big announcement is, But Now We Said It, my new podcast. I'm partnering with The Dip to bring a rewatch or Housewives rewatch type podcast, and sort of a behind the scenes of The Real Housewives. And it will be other Bravo shows too, eventually, where I'm going to be rewatching from the beginning and recapping old episodes, because you know what? New episodes of Housewives are great, but there's nothing better than an old episode of Housewives.
Guys, when I tell you this pod is going to be so good, you have to literally check it out.
Yes.
Behind the scenes info, exclusive interviews, like it's unlike anything that you've ever heard, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. And it's going to be brought to you by The Dip with the genius Faces by Bravo. Please follow him online. If you have taste, if you have class, and we will see you on the Patreon. We love you so much. Bye.
Bye.